And we're holding on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. We're continuing on the topic that we've done the last couple of we're continuing on the topic Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph of things that where the din is different in the Bais Mikdash than outside it in terms of Hilchos Shabbos. We had a couple of them already involving door hinges, involving tying the swings of the harp, involving locking doors using a bolt. Where the general rule we've been saying so far is in Shvus B'Mikdash, is that the Gzeiros D'Rabbanan when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos don't apply in the Bais Mikdash. With the exception, although Tosfos said that maybe when it comes to a Shvus Gadol, when it comes to a big Shvus, then maybe we do. As we had an example where Tosfos said that putting back the upper hinge of a door, which needs to be put in more strongly than the lower one, would be an example of a Shvus Gdola, where according to the Chachamim, at least, you can't do that in the Bais Mikdash. So here's another example of a Shvus and what we do and don't do about it regarding the Bais Mikdash. Now, then we know that one of the things that's a mum for an animal or for a kohen is a wart, a yabelis, it's called in Hebrew. Technically, actually, the Gemara elsewhere talks about that it has to be a wart that has a bone in it. So we're talking more like not like what we think of as a wart, but rather more like someplace where a bone is, you know, a little bit dislocated, I guess, or grows out like a bump grows on it unexpectedly, and therefore there's a bump in the flesh above it. Whatever the case, the point is that such a thing is a mum. In certain places on the body, the Gemara tells us in Bechoras that even a wart just on the flesh is considered a mum. Whatever. Without getting into that level of detail, the point is there are certain kinds of warts that are a mum for an animal or for a kohen who's going to serve in the Bais Mikdash. So what happens, for example, you have the animal, let's say Rashi says the animal that's supposed to be brought for the Korban Tumah on Shabbos has a wart on it. Or by the same token, the Mefarshim say we could be talking about, as we're going to see in the Gemara, where you could be talking about the Kohen himself has a wart. So choyskin yabelas v'mikdash, you're allowed to cut that off the animal or the person, meaning cut it off means pull it off by hand, v'mikdash, in the Bais Mikdash, because that's only an isu d'rabbanan. Avaloi b'medina, but not outside the Bais Mikdash. In b'kli kan v'kan osur. On the other hand, if you do it with a keli, if you take a knife and cut it off, then it would be osur in both places. Now, what's the deal is, in other words, Rashi says, either way, you're doing the sakin. Either way, you're making the animal or the person usable, which they weren't before, so therefore it's a tolda of the malacha of goizes. Goizes is you're shearing wool off an animal. Here you're taking off this bit of skin, this wart off the animal or the person. If you do it with a keli, then that's the normal way of doing it. Then you're doing a malacha daraisa, and as we've said before, malacha daraisa, you don't have a heter to do in the Bais Mikdash unless it's an actual part of the avodah itself. For example, obviously we shech the korbanos on Shabbos, but that's because that's the actual stage of the avodah itself. Here it's a prerequisite for the avodah. So if you do it with a keli, then you're doing an actual malacha daraisa. If you do it by hand, then it's only kala achayad. If you do it by hand, then it's only kala achayad. So again, that'll be also drabbanan. But when it comes to things drabbanan, we allow them in the Bais Mikdash. So the Gemara says Uraminu, though. I have a contradiction. You're telling me in this Mishnah that you're allowed to take off the wart by hand, but not with a knife. But the Mishnah tells us in Pesachim, you have a case over there when Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos. So the Mishnah describes over there what things involving the Korban Pesach are and aren't Doicha Shabbos. Herkevoi, carrying it, meaning suppose that the animal can't or won't walk for whatever reason, so you pick it up on your shoulder and carry it, or bringing it from outside the tchum, or cutting off a yabelis, a wart from it, all of those things ain doshin. Those things don't override Shabbos. Meaning, in other words, if you didn't do them before Shabbos and you have no other way to bring your Korban Pesach on Shabbos, then tough luck, you don't do it. Only the shechita of the Korban Pesach itself and the other things after that are doicha Shabbos, as we'll learn in Masechet Pesachim in a couple of months, Bez Hashem. But not these kinds of things that are only prerequisites, that are only machshirei mitzvah. Rabbi Eliezer oimer doichin. And Rabbi Eliezer says they do override Shabbos because, as we've learned before, Rabbi Eliezer holds that in general machshirei mitzvah, for example, machshirei milah, are indeed doicha Shabbos. So we have a Stam Mishnah over there saying that it's not Doicha Shabbos at all. We have a Stam Mishnah over here saying that it is, that we can at least take it off by hand. So what's the deal? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina. So Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina, Rabbi Chanina, whatever, argue how to reconcile the two Mishnayos. Chad Oma, one of them says, Hava Hava Lacha. Both Mishnayos are now we have to remember that when it comes to a wart, you can have a moist one, meaning where the skin is, it's still recognizably part of the skin. It's moist. It's living skin, as opposed to a dry one, which is like dead skin. So Hava Hava Lacha. So one of them says both Mishnayos here in Pesachim is talking about a moist one, one that's a living part of the skin. V'lekasha can be yad, can be kli. There's no contradiction. Our Mishnah is telling us you can take it off by hand. The Mishnah in Pesachim is telling us that you can't take it off, that you can't take it off with a knife. Rabbi Eliezer would say you could even take it off with a knife because machshirei mitzvah are doicha Shabbos. The Chachamim disagreed, but they say that fine, you can't do an issur d'oraisa to do it, but you could do an issur d'rabbanan of pulling it off by hand. So that's one way. The other one says that no, both here and Pesachim, it's talking about pulling it off by hand. But there's no contradiction. One Mishnah is talking, our Mishnah is talking about a dry one. So our Mishnah is talking about a dry one. So even so, to do it with a keli is also not so much because of the malacha of goizes, because once it's dry, then it's not really. Once it's dry, it's not really a living part of the skin anymore, so there's less of an issue with it. But even so, you take it off with it. You take it off with a keli. You're still doing the sacking. It's almost like makabah patish. You're fixing up before this animal was possible as a korban, and now it's kosher. So where's it talking about where it's a fresh one, where it's a live one. So then you can't even pull it off. So then the Mishnah would be saying over there that you can't even pull that off by hand. Okay, so now let's work out why each one insists on learning the two Mishnayos the way that he does. Ulamanda Oma Haba Yad Haba Kli, according to the opinion that says that, according to the opinion that the difference is that here we're talking about pulling it off by hand, and there we're talking about cutting it off with a keli, which then amounts to, so in other words, the two Mishnayos are telling us the same thing. Remember, according to that opinion, the two Mishnayos are not actually according to neither opinion are they actually arguing. But according to that first opinion, that our Mishnah had spelled out and said you can't do it with a knife, and the other one is saying fine, so you is also saying you can't do it, implying not with a knife. My time like Omar Havalacha Havayevesha. Why doesn't he like the explanation that one of them is live and one of them is dry? The answer is he would say, Amalach, Yvesha feel the clean amishari. You know what? If it's a dry wart, then actually you should be allowed to take it off even with a keli. We just said that you can't because that would be misakin. But come on, my time, ifruchi ifricha. Come on, if it's dry, it's gonna basically crumble off. So you can't really consider that doing that would be considered a malacha d'oraisa of goizes at all. So if we're allowed to take it off by hand, why shouldn't we equally well be allowed to take it off to take it off with a keli? Okay, vice versa. The opinion that says that there's a difference between a fresh one and a dry one, that our Mishnah is talking about a dry one, and the one in Pesachim that says you can't do anything with it is talking about a fresh one. My time, why doesn't he understand it in the sense that one of them is talking about that here we're saying you can pull it off by hand, and there we're saying you can't cut it off with a keli? The answer is Amalach B'Kli Hotnan, because you don't need to repeat that in Pesachim then. It says right here in our Mishnah, Im B'Kli Kan V'Kan also. It says right here in the Mishnah that it's also with a, that it's also with a knife. So why would you need the Mishnah in Pesachim to be repeating that point? V'Idach, where's the previous opinion, the other opinion would say there's a good reason for that. Hadikatani Hasam. You're right. We don't need to actually repeat it over there, the actual basic din itself. You're right. That we have in our Mishnah. But Mishum de Kaboy Iflugi Rabbi Eliezer Rabbanon. But the reason is because the Mishnah there wants to introduce the machloikas of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim about Machshirei Mitzvah, where Rabbi Eliezer is saying that you could do all these things and the Chachamim are saying that that is not. So therefore the Mishnah lists a bunch of things that might have to be done to make the korban usable, cutting off the wart and bringing it outside the tchum, etc., from outside the tchum, etc., and therefore it repeats the wart because it's mentioning other things where Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim are arguing. But you could still say that the Mishnah over there is saying exactly the same thing as over here. The idach, but what would the other answer say? What would the other mandama say? He would say you can't say that it's just repeating it in order to tell it, that it's just repeating it in order to bring the machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. If I care, you can't say that the one in Pesachim, again, according to the opinion that we're talking about, there's a difference between the yad and the kli, and he says that. So we're saying that if we say it's the yad versus the kli, then there's a repetition, and he would have to say it. The only reason we're doing it is to present the machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. But if we say that the one in Pesachim is talking about a fresh one, if we say that, unlike if we say. Again, if we say that in both places it's lacha and then yad versus kli, then the question is why it's repeating. But you can't say that it's doing it just in order to present the machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Because after all, if it's fresh and you're doing it with keli, then it would be an isu daraisa, and dumya deher kevei vava asim mechutz l'tchum katani. And what is the Mishnah doing? The Mishnah is putting together three things that you can't, that according to the Chachamim you can't do, and according to Rabbi Eliezer you can, carrying it on your shoulder, bringing it from outside the tchum, and cutting off the abelis. Two of those things are derabanan. Those are dumya deherkevei vava asim mechutz l'tchum katani derabanan. Herkevei and have also chutz l'tchum, we can say are drabanan, namely putting it on your shoulders. Now we learned in Masechet Shabbos about the machlokas of Nosan and Chachamim. There's a concept called chai noseis atzmo, a living person, a living creature helps carry its own weight, and therefore you're not chayav daraisa of carrying it on Shabbos. Everybody agrees that applies to a person. There's machlokas of Nosan and Chachamim whether that applies to animals. If we assume that the Mishnah over there is If we assume over there that the Mishnah is like Reb Nosson, then putting the animal on your shoulders and bringing it would be an Issur D'Rabbanan, not D'Oraisa, because the animal will also help adjust its weight, and therefore you'll be able to carry it. Bringing it from outside the Tchum is also D'Rabbanan, because Tchum and D'Rabbanan. Therefore, the Yabelis also has to be something which is only also D'Rabbanan. If you were to say that it's a fresh Yabelis, that's a moist, a live one, and that you're cutting it off with a keli, then you're talking an Issur D'Oraisa of Goizes, and then it doesn't fit with the other two. So for that reason alone, we have to say that it's talking about the kind of thing where it's only Issur D'Rabbanan. Namely, where it's not a fresh one, where it's a dry one. And the question would be, we are talking about a fresh one, but we're talking about pulling it off by hand, which is only an Issur D'Rabbanan. So you can't say that it's talking about the question of whether you can cut it off with a knife. It has to be that we're discussing that here in our Mishnah, we're talking about a dry one. Therefore, we allow you to pull it off by hand. There, we're talking about a fresh one where we don't allow you to pull it off by hand. And that's that. And that way, but because we're talking about pulling off by hand, the maximum we're talking about is an Issur D'Rabbanan. And therefore, it fits with how Kavaseh, Vavaseh, Mechutz L'tchum. The idach. So, what would the previous explanation? What would the other mandama? What would he say to that? He would say, no, you're not talking about things that are derabbanan. You are, in fact, talking about things that are daraisa. Herkevoi deloy, that the chachamim are saying over there, you can't have the animal, that you can't carry the animal on your shoulders. That would be deloy could have nosen to amah chai noses atzmai. That would taka have to be not like Rav Nosson, who says that a living creature, that chai noses atzmai applies to animals as well. They would say that it applies only to people. So therefore, yes, carrying the animal on your shoulders would be a melacha daraisa, and yet Rav Eliezer is allowing it, because Rav Eliezer allows Malachas Daraisa for purposes of mitzvahs as well, and the Chachamim would be disagreeing and not allowing it. So Herkevoi is in fact, according to that opinion, something Daraisa. Have Osim Chutzat Chum, and you could say as that Mishnah when it talks about carrying it from outside the Chum, or not carrying, bringing it from outside the Chum, would be Kirab Akiva Dama Chum and Daraisa. Listen, we know we have the opinion of Rabbi Akiva that says that the tchum of 2,000 amos is daraisa. We've touched on before, by the way, where the chachamim, according to the Rambam, it's in Perek Echad of Rambam in a couple of days, he holds that actually a tchum of 24,000 amos is daraisa, according to everybody. The Rishonim have a good deal of discussion about the pros and cons of that. Whatever, the point is that everybody agrees, the Rambam agrees that according to the chachamim, a tchum of 2,000 amos is only derabbanan. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, holds that particular tchum of 2,000 amos is daraisa. Very well, then. If that Mishnah goes according to Rav Akiva, then bringing it from outside the tchum of 2,000 amos is an Issur Shabbos Daraisa. So therefore, yeah, you could say, in fact, that the other two things... So you're trying to bring a proof to me that the wart we're talking about over there, that removing it is only an Issur Dirabbanan, is only a Malacha Dirabbanan, because you're doing it V'yad. But, and you're saying because it goes together with Haukavose, Bahava Ose, which are also Dirabbanan, just the opposite, he would say. You could say that Mishnah holds that both those things are Isurim Daraisa. One because it's carrying an animal, not a person, and we don't say Chai no Seis Atzmai. And the other one because Chumim Daraisa. And there you go then. In that case, then we could say that the cutting off the wart is also, we're talking about the question of whether there's a Malacha Daraisa involved. Namely, therefore, we'd have to be talking about a fresh one. And cutting it off with a knife. Whereas our Mishnah, which allows it, is talking about pulling it off by hand. Okay. So Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi ben Chanan each have their ways of understanding the two Mishnayos, and we don't have a solid proof one way or the other, which explanation it is. Okay. The Rambam Paskins like the opinion that you are allowed to take off a fresh one, but only by hand. You can't do it with a keli. A dry one, whether it's a dry or a fresh one, you can take it off by hand to make the Korban Pesach usable, but not the keli.
Okay. Question.
Yeah.
Why do we use the comparison with the Melacha of Gozes? Why don't we use instead the comparison with something that's Mechubar? There you can take it by hand and still do a Raisa.
Well, I mean, when you get down to it, Gozes is also. I mean, you know, you could take wool off an animal by hand also. But nevertheless, if you do that, it's considered a Shinui.
But if you do that by hand, you do it, you take off the ground, you cut you uproot some weeds, that's the Oraisa, isn't it?
Maybe. I mean, you could argue if you pull up weeds by hand, is it a Malacha Daraisa? Very likely, although the difference is, of course, that weeds you usually remove by hand. You always have to consider, you know, is this the normal way of doing the Malacha or not? When it comes to taking
yes,
the wart, so when it comes, okay, well, in brief, I would say that first of all, you can't necessarily compare because after all, the malacha of koitzer that you're talking about is from the ground. Here, the fact of the matter is, it's not from the ground, so it's not really the same thing. You know, we have to compare to the malachas that were in the Mishkan. The closest analog in the Mishkan to cutting something off of a living creature is gozes, where you're shearing off the wool. So when it comes to shearing wool, at least, and also, I mean, when it comes to harvesting many kinds of plants, usually it's done with a keli. You're talking about pulling up weeds. Fine, maybe pulling up weeds, you'd be chayav if you pull them up by hand, you'd be chayav malacha daraisa. But let's say, for example, it comes to harvesting wheat or barley or vegetables or whatever. Maybe you'd be chayav for pulling them out by hand. Maybe not. Maybe it's only also derabanan. But in any case, yeah, when it comes to gozes, is different.
Okay. Because it's an animal.
because it's an animal. Okay, so the Gemara says, must be Rabbi Yosef. Okay, Rabbi Yosef says that I have a contradiction. You're talking about over here. Now, again, so we have, according to Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yosef of Chanina, we're saying, again, the question is, the question basically we can say boils down to, are we talking about the kind of wart we're removing it is an Issu D'Oraisa or only an Issu D'Rabbanan? Is, when we say that Rabbi Eliezer is allowing it there, is it he's allowing even Malachas D'Oraisa, which would be the case if it was a fresh one and you're cutting it off at a Keli, or only a Malacha D'Rabbanan, which would be if you're pulling it off by hand. So most of Rabbi Yosef, the Braisa says over there, Omer Rabbi Eliezer, Kavah Choymer, Rabbi Eliezer says, I can make a Kavah Choymer that these things should be mutter, should be mutter to do on Shabbos. Actually, it's part of the mission over there. That Rabbi Eliezer says a Kavah Choymer that these things should be mutter on Shabbos. Uma shchita shimashum malacha d'orchas Shabbos. Madach, the actual shechting of the korban itself, which is a real malacha d'oraisa, and yet it's d'orchas Shabbos, and everybody agrees to that, because you bring the korban Pesach on Erev Pesach shchalias for Shabbos. Elu shimashum shivus. So these things, bringing it from outside the tchum, or carrying it on your shoulder, or cutting off the wart, which are only an Isser D'Rabbanan, ain't a din sheyidchu as a Shabbos, shouldn't it be a kavachoyim that they override Shabbos? So we see clearly, therefore, that we're talking about things that are only also D'Rabbanan, we're not talking about something D'Oraisa. So how can you understand the Mishnah over there as talking about a fresh one and cutting it off with a knife? Necessarily, it has to be that you're talking about that you're talking about the pulling it off by hand, where Rabbi Eliezer is going to allow it, and the Chachamim are still not going to allow it when it's a fresh one. They're only going to allow it when it's a dry one. Well, because, again, because Goz is, because you're taking something that's attached to the animal off. So if it's dry, it kind of crumbles, or it kind of crumbles away anyway. Elo, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Hava HaBiyad. So Rabbi Yosef says, you have to say, therefore, that both places, that both here and there, we're talking about doing it by hand. The difference is, shvus mikdash b'mikdash itiru. The difference is, when do we say that a shvus is mutter for purposes of the Beis Mikdash? Only when it's in the Beis Mikdash. Which is, like, for, in other words, on Mishnah, as we said in the Mishnah, Rashi had mentioned, we're talking about, for example, the korban tamid that needs to be brought on Shabbos. The animal for the korban tamid is right there in the Beis Mikdash. So then we're going to allow you to, take it off by hand. Shvus b'mikdash b'medina lohit. But when it's a shvus, it involves the Beis Mikdash, but it's taking place outside the Beis Mikdash because the Korban Pesach, each person brings from their house. You have to check the Korban Pesach in your house, and then you bring it to the Beis Mikdash. So those kinds of things, fine. Even if we say that the carrying it is only Dirabanan because we go like Rav Nosson. Even if we say that the bringing it from outside the Tchum is only Dirabanan because not like Rav Akiva. And even if we say pulling off the wart is only Dirabanan because you're doing it by hand. But nevertheless, it's outside the Beis Mikdash. That, Rabbi Yosef says, we're not going to allow. So that's why over here we're allowing it, because it's an animal that's in the Beis Mikdash already prepared for a Korban, and there we're talking about one that has yet to be brought to the Beis Mikdash. So in theory, I guess if you were to bring it, and then I guess in according to that, if you were to bring it, and then and if you were to bring it to the Beis Mikdash and then take it off, then maybe it would be mutter. Yeah. I mean, it also depends. The Gemara is going to point out later on in the sugya that there's also the difference. Is this something that could have been done before Shabbos? If the wart was there before Shabbos, then the Chachamim are not going to allow you to do it on Shabbos. Same idea as when it comes to Mila. If you didn't have a knife, if you don't have a knife, you should have prepared the knife before Shabbos. Okay. Yosef Abaya v'ka'amala hoshmaita. So the Gemara says Abaya was sitting and saying over the statement of Rabbi Yosef that there's a difference even within Shavus the Mikdash itself, whether it's taking place in the Mikdash versus outside it. Esved Absafra la Abaya. So Absafra says to Abaya, in that case, I have a contradiction. We learned a few Mishnayos ago in our Perek, Hoya Koda Basefer Alei Skup. If a person is sitting on the stoop of the house on Shabbos and reading from a Sefer, and then reading from a Sefer, from a scroll, as we said there, Venis Gaugala Sefer Miyodoi, and one end of the Sefer rolls off where he's sitting into Rishus Rabim into Rishus Rabim, the pastors we're talking about. Goyle Loyetzle, we said you're allowed to roll the end of it back towards yourself. Now, v'hahacha de shvus b'mikdash b'medinahu. Now, here you're talking about there is a shvus involved. Because, why are we allowing it again? Because, as we said over there, one reason to allow it is because igdei b'yadei, because the other end of the scroll is in your hand, and therefore it hasn't completely fallen into Rishas Rabim. But if the whole thing were to fall into Rishas Rabim, then you'd be over on an isur d'oraisa, carrying it back in. And yet, we don't say that we apply that shvus b'medinahu. This is outside the Beis Mikdash. And yet we're not making a gzera that because you shouldn't be able to pick up the other end, because what happens if the whole thing falls into Rosh Hashanah and then you take it and put it on the iskupa? We're assuming at this point that the iskupa is Rosh Hashanah. So then you'd be taking from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, which would be an Issa D'Araisa. So you see that a shvus with Sodach Mikdash. Now this is considered Sodach Mikdash, because after all, we're dealing here with Kisrei HaKodesh. We're dealing here with a sefer. And so yet we're saying that we're allowing, so usually we would say it would be also, if you have the same kind of thing with some other object where one end of it fell into Rosh Hashanah, we wouldn't allow you to pick up the other end. Here, because of the state, because the sefer, we allow it. So you see that such things are allowed even outside the Beis Mikdash. And the answer is, Abai answers in Veloy Ukimna be Iskupa Karmelis. Didn't we explain over there that we're talking about where the Iskupa is not a Rosh Hashanah at all? It's only a Karmelis. Rosh Hashanah may veris lefaneha, and the street in front of it is Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, we have two factors for the good, leaving aside even the fact that it's a safer. You have, there's number one, igdei b'yadei, the fact that you're holding the other end. Number two, you have the fact that even if the whole thing fell into the street, maximum, there's only an issur d'rabbanan over here, because carrying from Rosh Hashanah to Karmelis, right? So now, if the whole thing had fallen into his hand, then it would be a shvus, then it would be an isur d'rabbanan to bring it back in. But here, we're igdei b'yadei, afilu shvus nami leka. Then there's not even a shvus involved. So therefore, that's why it's mutter. Not because, like, you're thinking that a shvus de mikdash does apply in the Medina, but because over here, once you have that you have two factors for the good, that you have one end of it in your hand, and that it's only Karmelis to Rosh Hashanah, then it doesn't even matter the fact that it's a sefer or not. Just the fact that you have those two things together is enough to prevent it from being a shvus at all, because it would be a gzera l'gzera. Okay, Tosfos points out, we did have the case at the very beginning of the Perek, the case where you found bunches of tefillin out in the field, and it's going to be dangerous, the Goyim might mimavaza them or whatever, and we said there's cases where you can carry in pochas midalad amas. Okay, Tosfos says that's a little bit different. They're sitting over there in a state of bizoyan, so then, fine, the Chacham are going to allow it, but not otherwise. I mean, in the case of the Iskupa over here, we had the possibility that we brought up over there that we're talking about an Iskupa on addresses, an Iskupa that people are constantly stepping on, and therefore we want to allow you to bring the safer in as much as possible in order to avoid bizayin to you. Okay. Eisve. So then Rav Safra says to Abaya, okay, I have another contradiction though. Again, to this idea that a shvus de mikdash is only mutter in the bis mikdash, but not outside it. The Mishnah tells us at the end of the first parak of Shabbos, Mishalshon as a Pesach latanu im chashecha, you're allowed to lower the korban Pesach into the oven as Shabbos is beginning. Usually we learned over there, you're not allowed to put something up to cook right before Shabbos, shemi yechata begecholim, because you might stir up the coals in order to make it cook or bake or whatever faster. Yeah, there has to be baked to Michael Bender Soy, or you have to have Gorda Fukotum, et cetera, yeah. But over here, we're allowing it. We're allowing without any kind of shinui. So here we're talking about a shvus involving the Beis Mikdash, because it's involving Kodshim, but it's Bemedina. It's elsewhere in Yerushalayim. It's out because you don't roast Korban Pesach right there in the Beis Mikdash. You take it home and roast it. And we see we're not making a gzera that you might stir the coals. So there you go. Even a shvus de rabbanon, a shvus de mikdash, we don't even apply it in the Medina. Not like Rabbi Yosef is saying. Yeah. Ishtik. So Abaya was quiet and he couldn't think of an answer to that. Ki also makamed Rabbi Yosef. Then when Abaya came to see Rabbi Yosef, and he told him what happened, Omalei Hochi Omalei Rabbi Safra, he says, this is what Rabbi Safra said. How tackle do we reconcile that? Omalei, so Rabbi Yosef tells him, my time aloy tishani loy, why didn't you answer him? Bnei Chavura Zrizinhein. The people of the Chavura, of the group that are going to be eating the Korban Pesach together, they're Zoriz, and therefore they're going to be, Rashi says, Zrizin v'chachamim, And therefore, they're not going to end up being, they're not going to end up stirring the coals because they're going to remember the halachas of Shabbos that they're not allowed to do that. They're not, that's what Abai is going to answer. But we do say, we say in the Gemara over there that Bnei Chavura is risen, that we allow it because there is Zoriz and they're not likely to forget the halacha of stirring up the coals on Shabbos. They remind, well, it's not so much they remind one another. Sometimes we say that. Sometimes we say just a rabbim is enough. But here we're talking about a chavura. They're all gathered together to eat the Karban Pesach. They all have to be tahor. They all have to know the relevant dinim that we're going to learn in Masechet Pesachim about what they're allowed and not allowed to do with the Karban Pesach. They can't break bones. They can't kick it out in any of it outside the house, et cetera, et cetera. So they have to know these things. So therefore, we can assume they're also zoris as far as knowing Hilchos Shabbos that they're not allowed to, that they're not allowed to stir up the coals. Whereas Abaya didn't like that answer. He knew that you could say Bnei Chavura Zrizimain, but he didn't give that answer to Rav Safra because Koyanim Zrizimain Amrinin. Like you said, we can say that the Koyanim are Zoris, Bnei Chavura Zrizimain Loy Amrinin. Laf Dafka, we would say that the Bnei Chavura are so Zoris. Because after all, Rashi points out, look, I mean, you know, Koyanim is only a certain limited subset of people, Korban Pesach, everybody has to make a Korban Pesach. So you may not. You may end up with a group with the Korban Pesach where they're not so expert on the din. What? The children. Alright. Fine. But at any rate, so Rabbi Yosef still sticks to what he's saying, that we say that Shavus the Mikdash is only allowed in the Bis Mikdash, not outside it. So therefore, our Mishnah, which allows you to take off a wart from the animal, is talking about where it's in the Mikdash itself, for example, an animal for the Korban Tamid, whereas the Mishnah in Pesachim that says that according to the Chachamim you can't, is talking about a Korban Pesach, which you're bringing from your house. So again, we're saying because there's not even a shvus involved, because you have two factors for the good, leaving aside the fact that it's a safer, one that igde biyade, that you have one end of it in your hand, and the other that you're only dealing with kaimelus and rishus adam anyway. Okay. Rava says a different way of explaining. Again, we're still... Well, Rav Safra was arguing that this distinction that Rav Yosef is making between in the Mikdash and outside it doesn't seem to be valid. How do you explain the matter of being able to roast the Korban Pesach, being able to put it into the oven right before Shabbos begins? So in the end, Abaya has no answer, which requires him to say, therefore, that it can't be like Rav Yosef. We have to use one of the answers that we said before, Rav Elazar or Rav Yosef of Chaninas, about the difference between the two Mishnayos. Okay, so then we have another answer, Rava Omar. Rava says that we also, again, we can't say that, we can't use the explanations before. We have to be talking about that both here and in Pesachim, we're talking about taking off the wart by hand. But on the other hand, we can't use the answer, therefore, that between Rav Elazar and Rav Yosef of Chanina, again, we had a possible answer that with both cases we're talking about taking it off by hand, but here we're talking about a dry one, there we're talking about a fresh one. Rava, again, Rav Yosef didn't like that answer. Rava doesn't like that answer either, because the fact remains that if it's a dry one, why should there be a problem? Again, a dry one is just going to crumble away. So why should there be an issue with it at all? So the difference is, Rabbi Eliezer, our Mishnah, therefore, we can answer is, according to Rabbi Eliezer, now why would he say that you can't do it with a keli only by hand? Because, da'amar machshire mitzvah deichanas Shabbos. Now, Rabbi Eliezer does hold in Pesachim there, and in Shabbos, and in other places, that machshire mitzvah are deichanas Shabbos. And even if they could have been done before Shabbos, but umoyder Rabbi Eliezer to kama de efshal shanuyim shaninim. Even Rabbi Eliezer is going to agree that as much as you can change, the fact of the matter is that Rabbi Eliezer will allow even isurim daraisa, even malachas daraisa, where it's machshire mitzvah and there's no choice. For example, let's say when in Shabbos, when we learned that Rabbi Eliezer will allow you to make a knife for a milah on Shabbos, fine, there's really no choice in the matter. You need a knife. There's no way to do it without doing a malacha daraisa. Therefore, he's going to allow it. But where you have the alternative, where you're able to accomplish the same thing using a malacha daraisa or using something which is only an isur derabanan, then Rabbi Eliezer will agree, try to make it only an isur derabanan. So in this case, you could accomplish that by taking it off by hand. Whereas the Chachamim there will disagree and say you can't even do that. No, so if you, so well, he says even though you could have done an Erev Shabbos, it doesn't doesn't matter. He holds that still come Shabbos, you still could do it. But if you're going to do it on Shabbos, then at least if you're able to do it with a shinui, then you should. Actually, it's interesting, by the way, in connection with the Mishnah and Shabbos over there, when the Mishnah says over there that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you can make charcoal and you can make a metal knife, etc. You have two different yusois in the Mishnayos over there. Is it that Rabbi Eliezer says you can make kli barzel, a metal instrument, or just barzel? There are some of the Rishonim who say that maybe the Girsa over there should just be Barzel, not Kli Barzel, because even Rabbi Eliezer is not going to allow you to make a properly shaped knife. It'll allow you to make something that has a sharp edge. It'll be like a chunk of metal, but it'll have one sharp edge so that you can do the Mila, because more than that, you don't need to do. You don't need to make a proper Keli in order to make the Mila. So that would be similar to what Rava is saying here in the Gemara. Okay. Okay. So the Gemara says, Maihi. Now, so Rava is telling us then that Rabbi Eliezer is saying, even though Machshire Mitzvah are Doicha Shabbos, and even ones that could have been done before Shabbos, but nevertheless, Rabbi Eliezer is going to say, if you're doing it on Shabbos, you should always try to do it with a Shinui. Maihi, where do we see such an idea that Rabbi Eliezer himself would make such a distinction? So like this, Titania, we learn in a Braisa, Koyen should also buy a bellus. If a Koyen develops a wart, where again it's a mum and now he can't serve in the Mishnah. Chaveirei chois chala b'shina, loy b'shina. His friend, another person, another Koyen, another Yisrael or whatever, can cut it off, can tear it off using his teeth. Yeah, you see from that, you know, you see how far Avos Yisrael goes, that you know that you're going to be willing to do something fairly disgusting like that in order that your friend the Kohen can serve in the Mishmikdash. Yeah, so implying b'shinav ein b'kli loy. So the implication is that he can only do it with his teeth, but not with a knife. This is talking about Shabbos, yeah. And chaveiroi ein ihu loy, and that only the friend is allowed to do it, but not him himself. Now, Rashi refers to something that we learned in Masechta Shabbos, where Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim argue what happens if a person cuts his fingernails not using a nail clipper, but rather by cutting them off with each other. Like, you know how you have, you take one fingernail and then use it to break the other one, whatever. Or biting it also. So Rabbi Eliezer says that it's an Issur D'oraisa and Yechayiv Chatos. The Chum say it's only an Issur D'rabbanan. And the Gemara explains over there that Rabbi Eliezer would agree if you do it for somebody else, then for sure it's only an Issur D'rabbanan. So therefore, we see there's a difference between you doing it for yourself versus you doing it for somebody else. But even the somebody else can only do it with his teeth. So we have to figure out that B'raisa, money. Who would that B'raisa be like Rabbi Eliezer or like a Chachamim? Ilema Rabbanon, are you saying that it would be according to the Rabbanon? And over Mikdash, and was talking about it's in the Mishmikdash itself, and we're talking about, let's say the wart developed on Shabbos itself, so it couldn't have been done before Shabbos. Okay, but given the Amir Rabbanan, the Alma Mishum Shvus, but since the Chachamim say that in general, taking off fingernails one with another, or biting them, or whatever, is only an issur d'rabbanan anyway. Hocha mali hu mali chaveiroi. So why would the braisa distinguish between whether he does it or his friend does it? According to the Chachamim, there should be no difference. Either way, even if you bite off your own fingernails, according to the Chachamim, it's only an issur d'rabbanan. So once we're talking about over here, okay, so let's say we're talking about over here, it's a machshirei mitzvah, but it's one that couldn't have been done before Shabbos because the wart only developed on Shabbos. Let's say, fine, the Chachamim are maker on that. But why would they have to say that only your friend can do it? You yourself should be able to do it because either way, it's only going to be an issur d'rabbanan. El olav Rabbi Eliezer. So evidently that braisa has to be according to Rabbi Eliezer. So he would say if you did it yourself, then it would be an issur d'oraisa. So therefore, don't do it yourself. Have somebody else do it with his teeth. Where there, it's only an issur d'rabbanan. So you see that Rabbi Eliezer is telling you that even though I'm allowing you to do it, nevertheless, make it an issur d'rabbanan rather than an issur d'oraisa as much as possible. So that's the point. So even though this is machshirei mitzvah, and Rabbi Eliezer holds that such a thing as doicha Shabbos, kama de'efshel shanuyim mishaninan. Nevertheless, Rabbi Eliezer is going to tell us that you still should make as much of a shinui as possible. So Rava says that's where I get the idea from. Therefore, so our Mishnah, which distinguishes with the wart on an animal between biyad and the kli, would be according to Rabbi Eliezer. And the Mishnah in Pesachim that says that you can't take off the wart is according to the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Eliezer. Tosfos actually points out that even that in our Mishnah, then now why in our Mishnah then, according to Rabbi Eliezer, would we not say that you have to bite it off? Why are we talking about taking it off by hand versus a keli? Tosfos says, okay, come on, because here we're talking about a wart on an animal. That would be disgusting to do it with your teeth. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer will allow you to pull it off by hand. But when it comes to the wart on the person, better you should do it with your teeth rather than by hand, which is at least a little, it's also a shinui, but it's less of a shinui than doing it with the teeth. The teeth is a real shinui. With an animal, we're not going to require you to do that, but when it comes to a person, better you should do the maximum possible shinui, which is with the teeth. What? No, the wart could be anywhere on the animal's body or anywhere on the person's body. Yeah. A wart is a mum. Okay. However, the Gemara says, Loi, no, not necessarily. So again, Rava is saying, I'm forced to say that Rabbi Eliezer would require you to make a shinui when you have machshir and mitzvah that are doicha shamas based on this b'raisa, because this b'raisa can only be according to Rabbi Eliezer, because according to the Chachamim, there's no reason to distinguish between whether he's doing it or whether his friend is doing it. But the Gemara says, Loi, not necessarily. Lo'olam Rabbanon, actually, maybe you could argue that this b'raisa is according to the Chachamim. The E also the Kresoi Hochinami. You could say, if the wart is on his stomach, meaning or someplace on the front of his body where he himself could bite it off, Hochinami, then maybe the Chachamim would say that, yes, he can bite it off, because either way, whether he bites it or whether somebody else does, either way, it's only an Issur D'Rabbanan. Hoch, my skin, kuncha also in a shicha begabai of atzila yada. But let's say, for example, the bite, or really we're talking about the wart, is on his back or in his armpit. The ihulay motzi shokulah, so he can't bite it off himself. So therefore, in other words, the chama saying the friend should do it, not because of the difference between him and his friend doing it, lahalacha, but because practically speaking, he can't do it. The expression of a nishicha begabai, by the way, is interesting. There are gusais that don't have the word neshicha over here. They just have also live a gabai. Because on the face of it, what do you mean? We're not talking about a bite. We're talking about a wart. The one point, on the other hand, is there's a Gemara in Bava Kama that mentions an interesting case. Suppose you have Reuven and Shimon go into a room together, and then later on, Shimon comes out all bruised and banged up and whatever, and he claims that Reuven did it. When do we say Reuven is chayev? When not? So one distinction that the Gemara makes over there is, you could always argue, Shimon did it to himself and is trying to frame Reuven. One point the Gemara mentions over there, suppose that there's a bite on his back where Shimon himself obviously can't have done it to himself, then you can be Mechayev of Reuven for that. So therefore, because you need the expression, Neshicha Begaboy, so maybe therefore the Gemara borrowed that expression to use over here, even though here we're not talking about the bite, we're talking about the wart, which needs to be bitten off. I suppose that could be also, man. Okay. So therefore, so it's just a practical matter. So practically speaking, he can't take it off with his teeth, and therefore the Chachamim are saying that a Chaver should do it. That doesn't necessarily prove that the Chachamim wouldn't allow him to do it himself if it was in a place that he could reach with his teeth. Okay, so the question still is, okay, but if you're going to say that b'raisa goes according to the Chachamim, then he should be able to take it off by hand. So again, according to the Chachamim are trying to find something where it's going to be only an Issur D'Rabbanan. So okay, you yourself can't take it off because it's on you yourself can't reach it and get it off because it's on your back. But if he does it by hand, then it would also only be a Shavuos. So why are the Chachamim requiring the friend to bite it off instead of pulling it off by hand? In fact, the Chachamim should have mentioned Rashi goes on to say the Chachamim should have said it that way, that he should pull it off by hand. Number one, we would learn actually from that two things. Number one, we would see that when it comes to machshirei mitzvah, the Chachamim are only allowing d'rabbanans, not d'oraisas. Fine, that we see from this because they're allowing the biting. But if they said that you're allowed to take it off by hand, then you would say, okay, that means by hand, but not with a keli. But when we're saying to bite it off, what is the implication? So does that mean then that if it was by hand, you wouldn't be able to? That's only a shvus. So why didn't it present it that way? Wouldn't you have to say that it can't be like the Chachamim? Because then according to the Chachamim, better they should have said you can take it off by hand, and that would show their opinion more clearly that they do allow d'rabbanans, not d'oraisas. And again, that they hold, not like Rabbi Eliezer, that taking them off by hand is only an Issur D'Rabbanan, rather than like Rabbi Eliezer says, taking off your nails, for example, by hand is an Issur D'Oraisa. The Tifshet D'Rabbi Eliezer, and then we could, and then we could answer, then we could answer what Rabbi Eliezer said. De'Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Machlokes V'Yad, Av V'Kli, D'Vei HaKochayev. Then we would be able to answer the question on Amud Aleph. We had the Machlokes Rabbi Eliezer rather, and Rabbi Yosef of Chanina. What is the case in our Mishnah versus the case in the Mishnah in Psachim talking about, where there was a difference between where there's a difference between taking, or actually not in connection with that, but rather in connection with the Mishnah of in Shabbos, where Rabbi Eliezer the Tana says over there that pulling off your fingernails, your own fingernails on Shabbos, or biting them off, is an Issur D'Oraisa, and the Chum says it's only D'Rabbanan. Rabbi Lazar in the Gemara says over there that if you take them off with a nail clipper or whatever, everybody would agree that's Chayiv Chatas. So we should have, so again, we should have said over here that you're allowed B'yad, and that would, clearly highlight what Rabbi Lazar is saying, that the Chum would say that the Kli is D'Oraisa, and anything else is only D'Rabbanan. So doesn't that force you to say that our Braisa, the one about the Koyan with the wart, must be according to Rabbi Eliezer? Because according to the Chachamim, instead of mentioning the case, fine, you're talking about a case where the wart is not accessible to him with his teeth. But then why don't we say that the other guy can pull it off by hand? Why are we saying the other guy, Dafka, has to bite it off? So the Gemara says, V'litai meich, nu, and according to your Svara that you're asking the question, Rabbi Eliezer nami nishkule nihale biyad. Nu, you could argue the same thing according to Rabbi Eliezer also. Why shouldn't you be able to take it off by hand instead of biting? After all, again, it's still going to be a shinui, whether you bite it or whether you pull it off by hand. So again, you could ask according to Rabbi Eliezer why it would be saying dafki, you have to bite it. The Gemara says, hi, my. What kind of a question is that? Iyamet b'shleimer Rabbi Eliezer, if you say that the braisa about the koyan with the wart is a koyan to Rabbi Eliezer, hainu de gozer yad otto kli, then we can understand. You know why Rabbi Eliezer doesn't want you to take it off by hand, because taking it off by hand is too similar to taking it off with a keli. Again, you want to make as much of a shinui as possible. It is more normal to pull off things like extra pieces of skin that are hanging off or whatever. It is more normal to pull them off by hand than it is biting them. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says, if you do it by hand, then it's too similar to doing it with a keli. Therefore, you might end up doing it with a keli, and it would be an Issur D'Oraisa. And we're still only allowing Machshirei Mitzvah as much as possible. We're only allowing an Issur D'Rabbanan for it. So therefore, we can understand, according to Rabbi Eliezer, why you would have to bite it. But if you say it's according to the Chachamim, and they say it's not a matter of shinui or not, it's a matter of, are you doing a malacha, or are you doing a shavus, and they don't care what kind of shavus, then nishkalei niya leviyad, then you should be able to take it off by hand, because again, according to them, even if you took it off with your own hand, it would only be an issur d'rabbanan. Unlike Rabbi Eliezer, who says that taking it off your own body with your own hand would be an issur d'oraisa. So the Gemara says, that's it. The Tulei Midi, there's nothing more to say. Obviously, we've shown that Braisa goes according to Rabbi Eliezer, and therefore we can accept Rava's distinction that even Rabbi Eliezer, when he says you're allowed to do a Shvus, the Mikdash, you still have to make as much of a Shinui as possible. In our Mishnah, therefore, that means doing it in our Mishnah. So in Psachim, he says you're allowed to take off the ward, whereas the Chachamim disagree and say you can't take it off at all. But Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah would be telling us that even so, you need to make as much of a shinui as possible. So don't use a knife, use your hand. Again, with an animal, we're not going to require you to bite it off, because that would be disgusting, but at least with an animal, do it by hand rather than with a keli. Because according to the Chachamim, in general, you can't do machshirei mitzvah. Any machshirei mitzvah you can't do on Shabbos. You had to do them before. Only the actual mitzvah itself is doicha Shabbos, not the prerequisites for it. Okay. Mishnah says, another thing, or another difference between the Bais Hamikdash and anywhere else.
Question. So what's the halacha of machshirei mitzvah?
Well,
it goes by the Chachamim or Reb Shimon?
The halacha is like not Reb Shimon. We haven't talked about Reb Shimon. Rabbi Eliezer. The halacha is like the Chachamim. That machshirei mitzvah Now, halacha is like a chum. Machshir and mitzvah are not doicha Shabbos. We do allow a shvus in the Beis Mikdash. So we're talking about, though, taking off a wart by hand is considered. The halacha is not like Rabbi Yezer, that taking off warts or fingernails or whatever by hand is an isra d'oraisa. Whatever it is, it's only a shvus. Ain't shvus for mikdash. Therefore, we do allow it. We do allow it in the Beis Mikdash. We do allow it to, if the animal is in the Beis Mikdash itself, then you're allowed to take off the wart on Shabbos in order to be makrivit. But not with a keli, because that would be a malacha d'oraisa.
And for mila?
For mila, the halacha is also like a chachamim. So the mila itself can be done on Shabbos, but any of the machshirim mila cannot. So if you don't have a knife, for example, if you, we talked about in connection with this in Masechta Shabbos and Uli Yonah Masechta, whether maybe you'd be allowed to have a goy bring the knife, or we talked over there about, yeah, you can bring the knife derech gagas chatzeres for karpefes, you can bring it by way of roofs and chatzeres and whatever, which are all considered one rishus, as we learned previously in Masechta. But if you have no alternative, then yeah, you have to postpone the bris to Sunday.
Okay.
Mishnah says, Koyin shaloka be'etzboy. If a Koyin's finger was injured, it's not derech eretzdik for him to be doing the avoida with an injured finger, that his finger should be exposed like that. Therefore, korech aleo gemi b'mikdash. So in the mikdash, he's allowed to wrap gemi around it. Gemi is a type of grass, a papyrus or whatever, even though, as the Gemara mentions later, it has healing properties. And usually we say you're not allowed to do healing things on Shabbos, Shema Yishchik Sammonim, because you might grind up spices for it. Here we allow it, again, because it's in the Mikdash, and ancient was for Mikdash. Avaloi b'medina, but not anywhere outside the Beis Mikdash. That chatzitza we're talking about in the Gemara. If he puts it on tightly in order to squeeze blood out of the wound, kan also, then in both places it would be also, because that's not sodach avoida, and there you're doing a malacha, daraisa, of choivel, of wounding, which we learned in Masechta Shabbos, actually involves extracting blood from under the skin. We talked about over there, for example, about bruising an animal or a person where blood collects under the skin. So, in this case, if he forces blood out by tying the gemi on very strongly, then he's going to be over on Issa Daraisa, and it's not Soda Chavoda, so therefore he can't do it. Okay. So the Gemara says, Amr of Yehuda Breder of Chia, Loishonu Ela Gemi. This that we're saying in the Mishnah, you can put gemi on, only specifically gemi. Abel tzilzel cotton, but what if instead he would have put on a small belt? A tzilzel is a fancy small belt. So if he put something like that on, then you have a problem. Have a yitur begadim. Then it's also for a different reason, nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos, but the fact that now he's wearing an extra piece of clothing. As a Kohen Hedyot, he's only supposed to wear four items of clothing, the four big dekona. As a Kohen Gadol, only eight. So like this, he'd be wearing a fifth one or a ninth one, and that's no good. Rabbi Yechanan says, no, loy amri, yitur begadim, elabim koim begadim. The problem of yitur begadim only applies, where it's in the place where the other begadim are supposed to be worn. So if, for example, let's say he were to wear an extra pair of michnasayim, or an extra something on his head where the mitznefes is supposed to be or whatever, then it would be also. But here, on his finger, where he's not wearing any of the big tikkuna, then it's fine. So now the Gemara points out the problem that you mentioned, but tipu flame ishum chatzitza. Don't you have a problem anyway that the gemi would be a chatzitza? And for that matter, whether it's a gemi or whether it's a tiltzel, either way it's a chatzitza between his finger and the keli. The answer is bismol. You could answer. We're talking about it was that is that a finger on his left hand was injured. You only use your right hand for the avoda. In fact, the avoda that's done with the left hand is possible. So you have certain rare cases. We'll eventually learn Masechta Yoma, one of them, where you're allowed to do certain avodas with your left hand. But according to the Chachamim, anyway, it's actually a machlokas of Shimon and the Chachamim whether the left hand is posel or not. But whatever, the halacha is like the Chachamim that the left hand avoda is posel. So if his left finger, on his left hand is injured, then he could put a gemi or a tzilzel over there, and it's not a problem of chatzita. No, only the one hand. Inam. Sometimes, yeah, maybe. There are certain cases where we say you're allowed to be Mseyeya Bismo. You're allowed to assist with the left hand, but generally not. No, all the time. All the time. The, the, The Gemara explains in Zvachim, you have a psukim that meant whenever it says that something has to be done with the etzba, or it says the word koyin, or one of a couple of other words, then it always means it has to be done with the right hand. And we learn that from Zeta Shavas over there. The Gemara explains, yeah. So a lefty is a bal mum anyway. Being a lefty is considered a mum, yeah. Okay. So this goes, inami b'yamin b'shaloi b'makam avoda. Or another answer, you could say it is on his right hand, but it's not a place where it's going to interfere with the other. No, well, it could be on his arm, for example, or it could even be on his finger, as the Mishnah had said, b'etzbai. But let's say it's on the back of his finger. So then that's not the side that's touching the shchita knife or the mizruk or whatever anyway. So therefore you could put a demi over there without it being a chatzitza. Okay. Pliga de Rava. So the Gemara says, now this set of Yechanan is saying that it's Yitur B'godim only if you're wearing it where another beggar is supposed to be. That disagrees with Rava. The Amar Rava Amar of Chista, B'makim B'godim, if you have something which is on the Kohen's skin where the B'godim are supposed to be, Afilu Nima Achas Chaitzetzes, then even if there's an extra thread over there, then it would be a chatzitza. So, for example, if you have one extra thread on his arm between the ksonis, so the ksonis has sleeves that go down to his wrist. If under the sleeve, between the sleeve and his arm, there's a thread over there, then it would be a chatzitza. Shaloi b'makim begadim, if it's not in the place where begadim go, for example, on his fingers, shalosh al shalosh chotzitzos, then only if it's 3x3 etzbois would it be a chatzitza, because then it's already big enough to be considered a beged. Pachas mishalosh al shalosh, and in chotzitz, if it's less than 3x3, then it's not chotzitz. By the way, one thread, if it's under the begadim. However, Rashi actually points out, when we use the word chotzitzos over here, we don't really mean a chatzitza. Chatzitza could be even smaller. What we mean is that it would be yitur begadim. We're using the word chotzitzes because previously we used the word chotzitzes. We said a thread that's under the beged is a chatzitza. So therefore we continue with the word chatzitza. But here actually a beged 3x3 would actually be a different issue of yitur begadim. The point is Rabbi Yochanan is saying that an extra beged, if it's not where the begadim go, is never yitur begadim. Is never considered an extra beggar, and then doesn't possibly avoid it. Rava's saying if it's 3x3 etzbois, then it does. So for example, if he were to wear a piece of cloth 3x3 etzbois on his hand, then Rava would say it's Yitur B'Godim, Rabbi Yechanan would say it's not. So according to him, Yitur B'Godim would be, for example, if he wore, let's say, two mechnasayim, or two mechnefes, or whatever, yeah. And for that matter, not even a whole beged. Again, a chatzitza, so there's two different things. There's chatzitza and there's yitur begadim. Chatzitza would be even something small that's on his skin, between his skin and the beged. And yitur begadim would be if he wears something else. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, Adirab Yechan and Vadei Pliga. Okay, well then obviously Rava is arguing with Rabbi Yechanan, because again, Rabbi Yechanan would say that something on his hands can never be yitur begadim, and Rava is saying that it could be if it's 3x3. Adir of Yehuda, Breidir of Chia, me name a pliga. Would we necessarily have to say that he also argues with Rabbi Yehuda, Breidir of Chia, who said that a tzilso cotton would be yitur begadim? A tzilso cotton is less than 3x3 etzvois. It's very narrow. The answer is not necessarily shiny tzal, tzilso cotton de choshiv. No, because you could say a tzilso cotton is something very important because it's made as a whole beged like that. So in other words, Rava would say, when you're talking about, let's say, for example, stam a piece of cloth, then it needs to be 3x3 etzvos. But if it's made as a specific beged, like a tzilso cotton, then it would be a problem, then it would be yitur begadim, even though it's smaller than 3x3. A handkerchief might be an example. Yeah. Okay. Lishnachrina. Another version of the discussion goes like this: Amrila and Lichnachrin Amrila. Amr of Yehuda Brei de Rechia. It starts out with Rabbi Yehuda Brei de Rechia saying Loishanu ala Gemi. Again, in our Mishnah, we're saying that the Kohen can put Gemi on his finger, but only that. Abel Tzilzo Cotton Choitzitz. But if he uses a Tzilzo Cotton, then it would be a Chatzitza. Now, according to Rashi, there's not really a difference between that and the first Loshin. The first Loshin used the word Yitur Begadim. Here he's using the word Chatzitza. Rashi holds there's not necessarily a difference. It's just since Rabbi Yochanan is going to use the word chatzitza, then he's also using the word chatzitza. Although there are some achronim, we'll talk about that, at least the Rambam and the Ravid argue about the conclusions of the Gemara over here, what's considered a chatzitza and what's considered yitur begadim or not. The Ravid mentions a concept that it's only a chatzitza if it's shalosh al shalosh, so that could be based on our Gemara over here, the fact that in Lishna Achrona he's using the word chotzitz. Rabbi Yechanan says a chatzitza is it's only yitur begadim or chatzitza when it's less than 3x3 ela b'makom begadim, only when it's in the place where the begadim are supposed to be. Like Rava had said that, for example, even one string over there is enough to be a chatzitza if it's under the clothing. One extra thread lying on a skin, or the Gemara mentions over there, there can be other things also. One bug on a skin, even though the clothes are supposed to be fairly skin tight, if you have air gets in between the clothing and the skin is also a chatzitza. Whatever. So that would be only, so when would it be the chatzitza is less than 3x3 begadim? Please turn that off for the next couple of minutes. Only when it's b'makom begadim, only when it's in the place where begadim are supposed to be, then anything can be a chatzitza. Abo shaloi b'makom begadim, but if it's not where the begadim are supposed to be, shalosh al shalosh chotzitzos, only if it's 3x3 would it be a chatzitza. Pachas mishalosh ein chotzitzos, if it's less than 3x3, then it wouldn't be a chatzitza. V'hainu de Rava, which therefore agrees exactly with what Rava said. So in the first lashon we said that Rava is arguing with Rabbi Yechanan, because Rabbi Yechanan there had said that if it's shaloi b'makom begadim, then there's never a problem. Now Rabbi Yechanan is saying, according to the second lashon, that even shaloi b'makom begadim, it can be a problem if it's shalosh shalosh, which is exactly what Rava had said. So this is exactly what Rava had said in the name of Rav Chisda. So the question is, in that case, would we necessarily then have to say that he's arguing with Rabbi Yehuda Brei Rav Chiya, who said that a tzilso cotton is a problem, a tzilso cotton is less than 3x3 etzvos, and it's not shalom, and it's not b'makom begadim? The answer is not necessarily, again, shiny tzilso cotton, the chashav. Again, you can answer that a tzilso cotton is important because it's a whole beged of its own. So therefore, that would be reason enough, even according to Rava and Rabbi Yechanan, to consider it a problem, to consider it yitur begadim. Okay, so the question is, Ula Rabbi Yechanan, now we have to ask then, according to Rabbi Yechanan, so what we're saying is, in other words, Rabbi Yechanan might be arguing with Rabbi Yehuda Brei Rav Chiya. He is, after all, I mean, we mentioned Rabbi Yehuda Brei Rav Chiya says that a tzilso cotton is chaytas. Ve'er Rabbi Yechanan Amar. So fine, Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Yehuda Rav Chiya are arguing with each other. We have no problem with that. We would like to say that what Rava is saying can work according to both of them. Rava agrees with Rabbi Yechanan if it's shalosh al shalosh, and he also agrees with Rabbi Yehuda Brei Rav Chiya if it's a tzilso cotton. But now, according to Rabbi Yechanan, though, it comes out that a tzilso cotton, according to Rabbi Yechanan, is not a problem. So therefore, so Ula Rabbi Yechanan, ad ashmein and gemi, instead of the Mishnah mentioning gemi, which is less of a chiddush, lishmein and tzilso cotton. Let the Mishnah tell us, according to Rabbi Yechanan, that the Kohen can even put a tzilso cotton on his finger, and according to Rabbi Yechanan, there's not a problem of yitur begadim with it. That would have been a greater chiddush. Why didn't the Mishnah mention that? The answer is, Milsa Agav Urche Kamash Mulan, the answer is the Mishnah incidentally wants us to tell us a din, that one wants to tell us a fact, the Gemi Masi, that Gemi has healing properties. In other words, because of Hilchos Shabbos, it's useful to mention, we have to mention Gemi, even though it accomplishes healing, and usually you're not allowed to do healing things on Shabbos, Zeta Mishim Shchitka Sammanin, nevertheless we're allowing it. If we said Tzilso Cotton, we wouldn't realize that detail. So the reason why it mentions gemi rather than a tzilso cotton is because we're talking over here in terms of Hilchos Shabbos, it's more important to mention gemi. Here we're not in Masech the Zvachim. We were dealing with the dinim of Yitur Begadim. The place to mention that would be in Zvachim. Here, where we're in Shabbos, in fact, Agoris Abach changes the Gersa over here a little bit, that based on Rashi in Zvachim, that just the opposite. You can't say over here, it's by the way we're mentioning Gemi. Fakir, here we have to mention Gemi. This is the primary place to mention Gemi because we're talking to Hilchos Shabbos. In Zvachim, we could say that we're mentioning it only incidentally. So it mentions Gemi, even though it heals, and nevertheless, you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. So that's the bottom line, therefore. So he's allowed to put gemi. According to Rabbi Yechanan, he would be allowed to put tzilso cotton as well. According to Rabbi Yehuda Brei Rav Chiya and Rava, he would not, because a tzilso cotton is important enough to be considered a beged of its own. If it's a beged less than shalosh al shalosh, then Rava and Rabbi Yechanan would say, if it's in shaloi b'makom begadim, it's not a problem. If it's under the skin, and not under the skin, under the clothes, between the clothes and the skin, then it would be a problem even if it's less than shalosh al shalosh, not so much because of yitur begadim, but because of chatzitza. I think so. So I think if you find it after, then yeah. So you have to be very careful when he gets dressed. There's nothing, no bugs, no strings, yeah. Okay. Okay.